Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, doing? Awesome. Awesome. Listen, it might be one of those Sundays you got to come back a couple more services. It's just getting started, baby. Man, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we have sought you and you have answered. Lord God, you have already shown up this morning and answered prayers. You are already working in our lives. You are already healing. You are already delivering. You are already setting free, God. And God, today we join with our brothers and sisters of faith and we praise your name. For you alone are worthy. For you alone are worthy of praise and honor and adoration and glory and majesty, Lord God. Today we praise you. For you are the God who answers prayer. You are the God who delivers your people. You never quit. You never give up. You never walk out. You never forsake us. And though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not walk alone. And Father, we know one way or another, in this life or eternity, you will deliver us. So what do we have to fear? What do we have to be afraid of, Lord God? For our time here is short, but our time with you will never end. So Father, we praise your name. For you are our God and we are your people. Father, may our praise be a sweet sound to you. May our worship be in spirit and in truth. And may we, Lord God, honor you as we study your word and as we obey what you say. For we love you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Austin, you may be seated. Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Paul. I'm the lead pastor here at Crosspoint, and it is an honor and a privilege to be here with you today. And I'm excited as we're wrapping up our series on the Holy Spirit, but I don't want you to freak out. We are not wrapping up the Holy Spirit, okay? Holy Spirit's going to be here. We're going to take him into this week and into next weekend, but we're just going to wrap up our teaching series on the Holy Spirit. And so far, over the last few weeks, we looked at Scripture, and we talked about the triune nature of God. That he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, co-equal, co-eternal. How he exists and works in our life. And we began to explore the works of the Holy Spirit in our life. We talked about his role in drawing people to the Lord and to repentance. We talked about his indwelling of believers and transforming us into Christ-likeness. And today we're going to talk about two other important roles of the Holy Spirit on our life. The two important roles of the Holy Spirit, and the first one that we're going to talk about today is this, that he is our comforter and intercessor. He is our comforter and our intercessor. And we're going to dive into some scripture this morning. If you have your Bibles, feel free to turn there. If not, you can look at the screen behind me, or there's a stack of free Bibles in the back. That's our gift to you today. But we're going to look at a couple of scriptures this morning about what it means for the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and intercessor. And then we're going to look at another role of the Holy Spirit. So let's turn real quick to John chapter 14, verse 16. In John 14, 16, it says this, "And I will pray," this is Jesus speaking. He says, "And I will pray, and he, the Father, will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And I love this verse because we have all aspects of the Trinity represented in this one verse of Scripture. Jesus says, "I will pray to the Father and he will give you another comforter." Now, as we understand this, that word comforter, it's hard to translate into English. There's really no perfect equivalent for a word for word, but there is an understanding of that word and a phrase that would help us understand the role of the Holy Spirit. And that Greek word is paraclete. No one's going to remember that. That's okay. But here's what I want you to know. In English, the way we would translate that word for comforter would be this: one who comes alongside of you. In the scripture, Jesus is saying that God is going to send us one who will what? Come alongside of you. Someone who will come alongside. The implication is that the Holy Spirit gives us support and help and protection, guidance and comfort. Now, I don't know how you guys were raised, but I can tell you a little bit about how I was raised. And I was raised that when you're walking with a lady on the street, right, as a gentleman, you always put yourself between you and the street, right? Okay, seven of you were raised that way. Okay. Now, it may also be because I was raised in New York City, okay? But that's the way I was raised. And so, like, when I'm walking on the street with my wife, right, and I'm walking, I'm always trying to move her to the safest place for us to be. Why? Because that's my role, to come alongside of her, to protect her, to comfort her, and to get to the ice cream shop, right? Like, that's my role. And so I have to come alongside her. Now, I won't do a very good job of protecting her if I'm 100 feet ahead of her, if I'm 100 feet behind her. The best opportunity that I have is what? If I come alongside her. Because then we're going to go together. And when I see danger, man, I'm going to be right there. Whether that's coming from the cars or the street or whatever, right? I can put her behind me. I can take care of her. I can come alongside. And when we get to the ice cream shop, if they're out of some coffee-flavored ice cream, I could comfort her. And I said, baby, why don't you get this other flavor? Because I know you're only going to eat half, and I wanted to try that one too. I see y'all got that one. Yeah. And so this idea that's the implication, the role of the Holy Spirit is he's coming alongside of us, right? He is present with us, and his job is to comfort. His job is to be present, that whatever I go through, he goes through with me, right? Wherever I go, he goes with me. The scripture's saying, and he's going to what? Abide with me forever. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to take a time out. He's never going to say, you go ahead, I'll catch up, right? He's with me together always. He is my comforter. He is my ever-present help in time of need. And then Romans 8, 26 through 27, he expands on this role of comforter in bad times. Listen to what it says in Romans. I love this passage in Romans 8, 26. The scriptures say, in the same way, ready? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. I don't think you all got that. Let's read it together up here in 47,000 font, right? In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Thank you, front row. For the rest of you, in our
weakness.
The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And it goes on and says this, we don't know what we ought to pray for. We don't know, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. He says, listen, do you know he searches the heart and he knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes, what? For God's people in accordance to what? The will of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit ministers to us in our weakness. Have you ever thought about that? See, when he comes alongside of us, he doesn't just come alongside of us for the good days, for the mountaintops, for all the things that are awesome. No, he abides in all things, especially in my weakness, especially in my pain, especially in my brokenness, especially in my wounds, especially when I've been hurt or betrayed or I'm defeated or I'm overwhelmed. I don't know if you've ever felt that way before. I don't know, in your walk with the Lord, have you ever gone through some of those valleys of the shadow of death? Have you gone through some of those seasons where you didn't know which way was up? Have you ever walked through some of that pain where you didn't know, could I make it one more moment? Where you literally woke up and you're like, man, I just got to hold it together to get the kids off to school. Then I could be a basket case and cry for the next 3 hours. Man, I just got to hold it to get the kids from school. I got to hold it together. And in those moments for a believer, do you realize you're not alone? And when you don't have the words and you don't have the prayers and your faith has been rocked to the core, the scripture tells the Holy Spirit is right there, what? Holding us and praying over us on behalf of us. You guys remember when we had children? When they were small and fun size and could fit in our arms, right? Before they became full size, still thinking they're like a lap dog and they try to jump on us now and throw our back out for a month and a half. Ah. But you remember when they were little and they would cry and they would fuss? How many of you have walked 10,000 steps at a restaurant, right? Just so that you'd be one of those considerate patrons that doesn't make everybody else listen to your crying child, right? So you just scoop them up and you just hold them close and you just walk with them and you just rock with them. And you just walk with them, and you just rock with them. Man, don't you miss those times with your kids? Don't you wish you could still do that? Whether it was they were just fussy, they ate something bad, fell down and skinned their knee, that you could just like scoop them up and be like, yo, daddy's here. I got you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It says he just scoops us up. And when you don't know what to say, he says, I got you. I'm going to speak to the Father on your behalf. Let's just walk. Let's just walk. I got you. And I remember when this became very vibrant and alive for the first time in my life. I had just graduated college. I was working my first full-time ministry job as a youth pastor. Dude, I was super excited because part-time, I made $150 a week. Full-time, I made $150 a week. And they sent me to a conference at this church and like 10 states away, and I'd never been away to like a conference, and I was going to learn how to do student ministry, and just, man, it was so awesome. And at the same time as I got there, I got word that my grandfather was not doing well. And he had been diagnosed with cancer, and they told him that he had 6 months to live, but the last couple weeks were really, really bad. But he had 6 months. But I remember, you know what, I'm going to go visit. As soon as I land, I'm going to fly to New York, and I'm going to see my grandfather. And I got a call in the hotel room, and they're like, man, your grandpa's not doing well. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, listen, let's change the ticket. Let me get there, okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're gonna leave tomorrow. And I talked to my grandfather on the phone. I'm like, listen, I'm coming tomorrow. I'm going to be there tomorrow, okay? And he's like, okay. I remember the next phone call I got was that he passed away. And I didn't know what to do. I couldn't get there. And I went down to the conference. There's 2,000 youth pastors worshiping Jesus. And I just started to cry. And I just started to rock back and forth. And I was like, the Holy Spirit just picked me up and he says, I got you. Let's just rock. I got the words for you, Paul. You don't say nothing. I got you. That's what we mean when we say the Holy Spirit is our comforter and intercessor. It didn't change my circumstance, but he changed my condition in the midst of it. He reminded me that I was not alone. And he reminded me in that moment that he's got me. And while I had hoped and prayed for a better outcome, my God still had me in his grace and in his love. We talk about the role of the Holy Spirit as a comforter. That's what it means, as an intercessor. It doesn't say that, hey, listen, you know what he is? He's the genie who's going to grant your wish. No. The scripture says he intercedes what? In accordance to God's will. In accordance to God's plan. I don't know, for some of you, you said, but that can't be God's plan that people pass away. It wasn't God's plan originally. That's why our soul lives forever. But sin entered the world. And sin corrupts and it destroys literally our physical body and everything about us. But his good news is we will be delivered from this one way or another. And for those in Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit means he comes alongside as what? As the one who comforts and intercedes. We know the second important role that we want to talk about today of the role of the Holy Spirit in our life is this, to empower believers to share the gospel. To empower believers to share the gospel. The role of the Holy Spirit is to literally empower us to share the gospel. In fact, if you have your Bibles, Acts 1:8. Listen to what Acts 1:8 says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But you will receive power. That's awesome. I always wanted to be a superhero. Want some powers, right? How many people don't want power? Has there ever been a time in your life where you're saying, you know what I would like to be? Weaker. Never. My goodness, my wife and I were trying to get the lid off of the pool filter yesterday. Holy cow, I need some Wheaties, some spinach. I need some of that special juice from the bodybuilder, whatever. I'm like, wow, is this thing on here? My wife's over there like, man, I almost lost my faith right there trying to get that on. Then I'm over here quoting scripture, but you'll receive power. No, I'm just kidding. Why? Because if we just stop at that part of the verse, we're not going to understand why the power. And the scripture says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Why? And you will be my witnesses, telling people everywhere about me. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He says, when we receive the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of the living God, that Spirit of salvation, he's coming with power. And he gives us not only the power to change ourselves and be transformed into Christ's likeness, he gives us the power and the purpose to tell others about Jesus. In fact, that's why some of you are always wondering, like, yeah, why won't these Christians just shut up about Jesus? We can't. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, he comes on you and makes you an evangelist. Evangelize means to tell other people about Jesus. I didn't pick this. I had a whole other plan for my life. It was not to stand up in front of folks and tell them about Jesus. It wasn't to start as a youth pastor with a youth group of 12 kids making $150 a week. I had a whole other, listen, but Jesus came into my life. And I couldn't help but tell people about Jesus. When Jesus came into my life, the Holy Spirit did something in me. And all of a sudden, I started to tell people about Jesus. As a high school student, while I still had my other plan in life career, God told me I should start a Bible study in my house. I didn't even know half of the thing. But I'm like, okay, I got a Bible. And so I just invited anybody. I'm like, hey, man, I'm going to have a Bible study at my house. I was 16 years old. I remember, God, I'm going to have a Bible study in my house. People said, okay, what are we going to study? I'm like, the Bible? And they were like, you got any extra? Not yet. I went to the church. Hey, I'm going to do a Bible study at my house. I need some Bibles. And they're like, we ain't got no Bibles. I'm like, what kind of church is this? That's why I cross-point. There's Bibles everywhere, right? We're still analog and digital. We got you covered, no matter what. And I remember starting, and I was like, where is this coming from? This is so weird. Why can't I just shut up about it? Because it's the Holy Spirit inside of me. See, the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that the word in the scripture for power is the same word we get dynamite from? You ever play with dynamite? Bro, you didn't grow up in New York City either? Okay, no, but... Listen, man, and it was awesome because fireworks were illegal, right? But you could always get them. And so I remember we get like the quarter sticks of dynamite. Quarter stick of dynamite. Anyway, I don't want your kids to get any bad ideas. So anyway, let the trained professionals do that stuff, kids. Anyway, man, it was powerful. That's what it's like when the Holy Spirit comes in. He blows stuff up. He changes stuff. And what he does is he gives us this power to what? Share the word of God. In other words, it's not optional. It's just the byproduct of his presence in our life. He gives us a desire to tell other people about him. He gives us a desire to share our story of how God changed our lives. It wasn't my bright idea. It wasn't the Apostle Paul's bright idea. It wasn't John's bright idea. Man, it was the presence of the Holy Spirit. He came in power to empower us to tell Jesus a story. A story of love for you and me. A story of hope for you and me. A story that has a way better ending with God as a part of it than with God without it. That's the story of Jesus. Jesus literally came because you and I were suffering in sin, separated from all of God's blessing that he has for us. And when Jesus left, he gave us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does a great transformative work in us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit guides us to repentance. The Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit also gives us a message worth sharing and a story worth telling. Maybe for some of you here this morning, the Holy Spirit has been drawing you and leaning in on you and telling you God has a better story for the rest of your life. God has a better story for the rest of your life. And so we're going to dive into our next steps, but I don't want you to get worried and think, oh my gosh, Pastor Paul's ending 15 minutes early. No, I'm not. It's against pastor code. We can never finish early. We must go right up to the edge to make the band freak out. And the kids, people worry. No, because we have a lot of extra stuff. We've got a couple things that we're going to do today I think are going to be really special and meaningful. But maybe the Holy Spirit is telling you that he wants to write a better story in your life. A story in which you experience the love, grace, and forgiveness of Jesus. A story where the Holy Spirit will come and indwell you when you surrender your life to Christ. You see, that's our first next step, is to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Maybe that's exactly where your story and God's story right now is intersecting. Is that you need Jesus. The Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our heart, then we will be saved. It's not conditional. It's not a like maybe. It's not a he'll think about it. No, it literally is. When we surrender our lives to Christ, he indwells, sends his Spirit, forgives us of our sin, and changes our eternity. Man, what an awesome gift of God. But just like any gift, it has to be received. He doesn't force it on us. He invites us to take it. And maybe today, the Holy Spirit is inviting you to take your gift of salvation for your soul. And if that's you, then I would like to help you do that. So here's what I ask. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody looking around, no distractions right now. But if the Holy Spirit of God is impressing upon you your need for him, then you cry out these words as I say them out loud. Dear Jesus, here I am, and I surrender my life to you. All that I was, all that I am, all that I will ever be, God, I surrender to you. I accept the forgiveness that Christ died on the cross and rose again in victory. And I confess, I need you, Jesus. So I'm turning to you once and for all. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to play. I'm going to surrender my life, all of it, to you. And upon this confession of faith, I pray that you would fill me now with the fullness of your Holy Spirit to indwell me, to guide me, transform me, to comfort me, to intercede on my behalf, to walk with me until you call me home. And I pray all of this in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, would you go ahead and pull out that Connect card that's in the seat back in front of you that my friend Jason talked about earlier in the service? Check off that next step, fill out that information, and drop it in one of the offering boxes on your way out today. Second next step says this: I will seek the Holy Spirit for comfort. Maybe there's a situation, maybe there's a circumstance. Maybe there's a broken relationship, a prodigal son, a diagnosis, an addiction. Maybe there's just something that you as a believer, even though you have faith in Christ, you're still struggling and hurting and wounded over that past or that present trauma. Man, I want to encourage you in those moments. Understand that we have a Holy Spirit who picks us up and he comforts us. And he abides with us in the midst of it. And in his time and in his way, he will lead us through it. And maybe that's the word you needed to hear today, is to seek the Holy Spirit as your comforter and intercessor. Our third next step is to invite some people to Easter service next Sunday. And on your seat next to you, there is a post-it note. And here's what I'd like you to do. I'd love for you to pull out that trusty CrossPoint pen and that post-it note. And I'd love for you to write the name of two people in your life who need Jesus. Who are two people in your life who you could invite to Easter services? Two people that you could share an invitation to come. So I'm going to ask everybody, go ahead, pull out your pen, write down those names right now. Because in a couple seconds, I'm going to ask you to get up and to walk to one of the crosses that are around the room today and just place the post-it note at the cross. And once you're done placing the post-it note at the cross, I'm going to ask that you would grab from the bowl there the elements of the Lord's Supper and then bring those back to your seat, and we're going to take them together. But on that post-it note, write down the two names. Who are you praying for? That God would just grab a hold of their life and let them know that he loves them. He has a plan and a purpose for their life. And that you're praying that they would be open to your invitation to join you at one of the four Easter services next Sunday. So I'm going to ask, as the instrumentals are playing, would everybody go ahead and stand up? And as you've got your post-it note, I'm going to go ahead and pray real quick, and then I want you to make your way to the crosses, leave your post-it note, and grab the elements of the Lord's Supper. Dear Heavenly Father, you know these names, you know these people, you love them, and you died for them. Holy Spirit, empower us with the courage to invite them. Empower us with the passion to tell them the story of how you changed our lives. Father, we leave them in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you guys make your way to the cross? Leave the post-it note at the cross there and grab the elements of the Lord's Supper and come back to your seat. you get the elements of the Lord's Supper and you make your way back to your seat. If you'd peel off that top layer, it'll reveal the bread, the wafer, which when Jesus gathered with his disciples for the Last Supper, he held up bread and he said, "This bread, which is broken for you, is my body." That there was a high price that was paid for what Christ did for us. It was his life. And the scriptures tell us that we shouldn't take it lightly, that we should make sure that we are in the right place with God. So just over the next few moments, if there's something on your heart that you need to bring before the Lord, then right where you are, you just cry it out. Say, "God, I want to lay this at your feet. I want to give this over to you. I want to trust in you in this area." If there's something you're struggling with and you know you need to walk away from it, God, you just pray, give me the strength to walk away from that, to resist it, and to trust in you. And then together, let's partake in the Lord's Supper. This is his body, which was broken for us. And we do this in remembrance of him. And then also that night, he held up the cup. His had wine, yours has juice. Dude, it's not even 10 in the morning, okay? Calm down. But it was symbolic and it was representative of his blood that was shed for us. His blood that covers over us. As the scripture foretold all the way back in Moses, the blood of the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world and let death pass over us. And today, we remember his sacrifice and that which was shed for us. And we do this in remembrance of him. And our last next step today is to memorize Acts 1:8. That final verse that we looked at, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." And for you and I this morning, it literally means this: being that witness, sharing that invitation, and letting people know that Christ changed your life. And it starts with maybe going across the dining room table, across the classroom, across the cubicles, across the street. It starts right where we are with the people closest to us who have yet to experience and encounter the life-changing message of Jesus. And it would be our privilege and our honor if you'd invite them to be a part of one of our Easter services next Sunday, so that we could share the good news of the risen Savior and the good news of the love of God for them. It's been an honor and a privilege to share this message and this word with you. The band is going to come up and close us out. And if you're new here, I would love to meet you in our first time guest lounge after the service. And let me pray for you as we go out this week. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. And I pray now, Lord God, that we would realize that you are our comforter, you are our intercessor, and that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes in power. The power to share the story of how, God, you changed our lives forever. May we go forward this week as your messengers, share the good news of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.